everybody, and welcome again to the Ramble Room. It's a sunny, sunny Saturday afternoon after many days of freezing cold weather here, not just in Texas. A lot of people are cold, it turns out.
Yeah, isn't it funny? We go through 10 days of sub-zero and 25 degrees below zero, and you don't
Nobody
hear
cares.
Jack.
Yeah, at one point it was negative 39.
Yeah. But we're fine.
In Wyoming, yeah. Not in Sheridan. That's not an accurate number for Sheridan, but in Wyoming.
So I'm here. I'm Sarah, and I'm here with Diane and Ken and Joseph. And I need to put this on the record before we get to the meat of today's show, because I said something that I was right about, and I just need it on the record.
She's a gloater. So she's going to gloat.
Where's the round of applause button?
I pushed it, but I had the volume back.
Yay! Yay!
Ooh, standing ovation!
Oh my gosh, encore, encore. Okay, turn it off. We got to get to this. So, there's a big catastrophe in Texas because they froze over. People's houses are flooding because of burst pipes.
People are dying. Helicopters.
Yes, they are. They're dying. They're starving. Orangutans and lemurs are dying because they're not being heated.
It's not an orangutan. It's chimpanzees.
I'm sorry.
Yes, get it right.
They all look alike to me.
Different sizes of thumbs.
So, all this terrible stuff is happening in Texas. And as it was happening, I remembered Katrina. And I remembered everybody throwing a fit about George W. Bush saying that somehow either Katrina was his fault, or he should have prevented it, or he should have done something to handle the crisis better or whatever else.
Because Bush was God.
Yes. Well, the same way it was Trump's fault that the...
I thought he was Satan.
One of the two. He's something.
All the wildfires were Trump's fault, and Katrina was George W. Bush's fault. So I thought, isn't this interesting that we're having a big crisis, and there's a Democrat in the White House, and you don't hear anybody criticizing Biden for the way that he's handling the whole Texas thing. In fact, he just took a day off, right?
Yeah, he took a day off during all of this.
Yeah.
Snow day.
Brr, it's chilly.
Where am I
again? Dogs.
Texas. What country is that? That's a terrible Biden impression.
So anyway, I've been waiting for any sort of outcry against Biden. And it turns out that the scapegoat is not going to be Joseph R. Biden. It's going to be Ted Cruz. Because Ted Cruz lives in Texas, and he left to take his daughter to Cancun with it.
Yes, Cancun.
To Cancun to get her out of the cold. And shame on him. What a piece of garbage. There are people dying, and he is taking a break.
Because Ted Cruz is out there with a hairdryer fixing all these wind turbines.
Well, he should have been.
Yeah. Well, those extension cords are hard to find that'll reach all the way up there.
You gotta hook him up to a diesel generator.
But the point of this whole thing is to say that I was right about something. I was right that no one's going to say anything to Biden, and I was right that they were going to find somebody else to blame. Thank you. Thank you. All right, cut it. Next. The meat of today's show, though, is going to be talking about a new bill introduced in Wyoming. What is it? HB
129.
HB 129. We have really prepared for this. We were so prepared that we almost forgot to hit the record button, so we're pretty much just done talking about it.
Sorry you missed it.
Yeah. And good night.
Thanks
for
tuning in.
We're talking about HB 29, and some of these bills are coming out because there's this huge, we're going to keep using this word, there's shortfall in the budget because of COVID and all that stuff. We're losing money, so we have to cut funding somewhere. And this reeks to high heaven of some sort of attempt to make it look like we're really, really hurting in the school system. So don't forget to pay your taxes. Keep paying us more and more money, even though there's all kinds of waste. Let's first cut extracurricular activities.
Before we go any farther, a little teaser. We've got a lot more to say about this in future weeks. We probably won't make any friends with the WEA. That's okay.
Or anybody else.
We're just going to try to tell you the truth, let you know what's really going on in education spending, because you keep hearing, oh, we can't cut education, we can't cut any of that budget. That's, you know, and then, of course, as soon as they do, the first thing they cut, which is part of what we're going to talk about today, not trying to steal thunder.
No, that's fine.
Is things that benefit kids or the classroom or affect the teachers themselves, when there's all kinds of other places we could go to save some money. So we're going to be spending quite a bit of time over the next few weeks shining some light on some of those things and, you know, watch the cockroaches and the rats scurry.
Flick on the lights. Let's watch them run.
I hate that sound, though, that little chittering legs.
That's the sound of a rhino.
I hate the sound of the word infestation.
Exoskeleton.
Ooh, yeah, get that back inside where it belongs.
I'd step on you, but you're going to crunch under my shoe and I can't handle it. All right.
But not die.
Right. So HB 129 is a bill introduced by Cyrus Western. So he introduced a bill. It looks to me like it's basically in three parts. One of them is about school bus standards, operators, vehicle operation, liability limited. Basically just saying we need to look at how we're operating all of these buses that are carting kids all over the state. These are not just the buses driving kids to school every day, but the buses that are driving kids across the state for all kinds of extracurricular things.
It's my understanding that most of that fuel money comes from other sources. That funding for education and funding throughout the state is, as we've discussed before, is just a quagmire of buckets that one fills up and fills this and that goes over there and this pays for this but doesn't pay for that, and it's chaos and insanity and deliberately so. With the state cutting back funding all over the place, one of the things they're going to be cutting back on is subsidies to school districts to be able to run the buses. Of course, that most adversely affects the small rural school districts as opposed to the others. So this is, in some ways, it's wise to be proactive and to think about, okay, if we're not going to have this money, what do we need to change? So I credit Cyrus for at least being foresighted, regardless of, and I haven't researched this bill to the extent that I will, but he appears to be making a proactive move. Right or wrong, I will commend him for at least being aware and trying to do something.
Well, we can't fault anybody for trying to balance a budget. That's what all of us have to do on a regular basis. But the part that kind of stuck out to us, and this is kind of an evolving bill, it's being tossed around like they all do, so things that are in it right now may not stick, but what it sounds to me like is that the second section is talking about cutting extracurricular activities. Now, it pretty explicitly says we're not cutting the activities, we're just not funding them anymore. You're more than welcome to go out and find funding from booster clubs, fundraisers, local recreation districts, stuff like that. I'm kind of paraphrasing, quoting an article from the Sheridan Press that is talking about this bill.
No, that's trustworthy.
Yeah. The second half of E underneath the section says the legislature specifically encourages school districts to establish programs of this type through a recreation board under WS 18-9201, through the assessment of activity program fees or by the use of other funds available to the district that are not provided through the school foundation program.
Yes.
So through the use of other funds available to the district, apparently there are other funds available to the district, so we don't need to get crazy and tell kids they can't have football. And program fees, more fees, really, when we have all this money sitting over here in the other funds available. I don't have any numbers. I don't have any understanding of how that works. But if we've got other funds available, do we then also need to charge more fees in order to keep our extracurricular activities?
I think there's one more thing to add to that, and I alluded to it in my campaign last summer. If government funding for certain activities disappears or goes away, there are all kinds of other ways that people raise money for things they deem worthy of having. And in some ways, we make it too easy for people when we just say, oh, the government will just pay for it and nobody really has to do anything. So this would give parents, it would give teachers, community members, whomever may have an interest in a school activity. Hey, if you think this is really of genuine value, put up or shut up. We don't even explore a lot of other opportunities or a lot of other ways to get people involved, to get things funded. We just simply rely on the government to pay it and go our merry way. And because in Wyoming, mineral taxes have paid the bulk of that, it doesn't really hurt us. That's been too easy. Well, when those mineral taxes dry up, and now we're actually having to pay for what we do, we really need people to consider what is the value of these activities. Are there other ways legitimately to fund them? can we have, you know, we used to have bake sales and all that other stuff. It's probably illegal now, especially with COVID.
Across the country.
Yeah, I have gone to roadside stands in third world countries, which shall remain nameless because I don't want to embarrass Saudi Arabia or Iraq. Some of that horse was pretty good. At least I hope it was horse.
No, it was horse.
It was a darn camel.
Pigeon was not good, I'll tell you. I had a couple of
pigeons. I just think that if we're going to start making cuts, we should do it from the top.
Right.
Cut the fat.
Yeah. Yes. Because there's huge amounts of money going to people that are pretty well worthless.
You know, there's huge amounts of money going to people that don't even exist. Did you know that?
It probably is.
In Wyoming right now, there are something like 800 teachers' positions that are not filled.
And there's money going to them.
And that money is being paid out, not only the salaries, that money is going to the school districts, but the money that would be there to pay for their health insurance benefits. That money is being dumped into a slush fund, and I aim to find out what's being done with it.
You do that, because we want to know.
Well, I hope your aim is good.
I think that's something that a lot of people that haven't looked at the numbers, that aren't well informed, they look at this whole situation and they go, oh no, there's that word again, shortfall in the budget, and we have to start cutting these poor kids, we're cutting their extracurricular activities. And there are some very mixed feelings in this room about cutting extracurricular activities. None of us, I don't think any two of us in this room agree on exactly how that should be done. But the point that we're making is that before you start cutting things that directly affect the kids and the parents and the teachers, how about you start cutting these people at the top that either A, like Ken said, don't exist, or B, do exist and have no apparent purpose. It's the bee watcher watchers that we talked about on the last episode, where there's so much administration in the school system, having meetings, everybody shudders, having meetings and sending memos and doing all this stuff, trying to make all these decisions for kids that the teachers should be allowed to make.
There's another bill out there, and I don't mean to cut you off, Joe, but I'll come back. There's another bill out there that would reduce the number of school districts in Wyoming. With each school district, there's a certain amount of administration and a certain amount of cost. And on the one hand, I don't like it because I don't like the general concept of the centralization of power.
Right.
Power needs to be as close to the people as possible. On the other hand, I don't like waste, fraud, and abuse, and the more government programs at any level of government you have, the more opportunity you have for waste, fraud, and abuse. So my response is, yes, let's cut the number of school districts, let's cut the number of administrators, let's cut off the top, off of the fat. You don't need to be making $100,000, $200,000 in a job that really doesn't affect the kids. Let's get rid of that, and let's lean on parents and teachers, the PTAs, the local school boards, to do their job. It is not rocket science to educate K through 12. It just flat isn't. And that doesn't belittle any of the professionals that work so diligently and do a great job in that, especially on the front lines. But when that is just a small portion of the overall budget, and you've got a vast, vast number of administrators and staff,
right,
people that don't really produce anything.
People that aren't in the classroom are making more than the people that are producing the product.
Vastly more.
Right.
And they're just writing stuff down that affects the teachers and the kids, and it seems like it's getting more and more negative ways. They're trying to protect themselves, so they're throwing the students and the teachers under the bus.
The bus that's out of gas!
Here's kind of an example, and this is from way back when I was in high school. Way, way, way back.
What?
It was a long time ago. I remember the head people, the administration across the state deciding we need to have, what did they call it, core requirements or whatever it was. And one of the things that they wanted to implement was that all the kids in every classroom needed to have writing assignments. So I remember being in PE class, and my PE teacher was required to have us do a writing assignment. So instead of actually doing any sort of physical activity for several days out of the school year, what we had to do was go to the library, research the rules for badminton and write an essay about the rules for badminton. My PE teacher was then forced to take his time out of his personal life to grade these terribly written papers.
First, he had to go learn how to read.
He was a brilliant man, and he knew how to read, but he didn't care whether we could spell or form a sentence or anything else. That was the English teacher's job. That's just an example of one of these things that gets decided by people who are never in the classroom. They never ask the opinion of the teachers. They don't care what it takes for the teachers to carry this out, as long as they do. And I heard all of the grumbling from all of these teachers saying, this is stupid. These are things that we
banned, right?
Yeah, we had to do a writing assignment banned. We had to do there were all kinds of things getting put in place when I was getting ready to leave high school that were going to affect kids for I don't know how many years after that. It's probably still there. But I was constantly listening to the teachers gripe about this stuff. I loved my teachers. I was learning things from them, some of them. Some of them hopefully don't have a job anymore.
Well, and you're not being specific about what you learned from
them. Well, I learned how teachers' administrations work, for one thing. So I guess partly what I'm trying to say is I want to reiterate the fact that we support teachers. We support the people who are in the classrooms, who are actually in the trenches doing this stuff. And if the administration would shut up and get out of the way and let those teachers do what they've been doing for years and years and years, the entire system would work a lot better and it'd be a lot cheaper.
It's not the teachers that are wasting money.
No.
It's these people at the top, that are nameless to me anyways, that are destroying the school system to their own benefit.
Right, because you know that no matter how much money's in those slush funds, those teachers are out there buying their own materials.
Yep.
And pencils and crayons and things because they're being told they can't have any more.
What's the average salary of a teacher in the state of Wyoming?
I'm guessing right at $42,000.
Last I looked, it was between 40 and 45.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
25 years ago, Wyoming spent about $5,000 to educate a student. Okay, that's quite a while back. But if you think about the last 25 years and how much inflation and how much times have changed and what cost is, it's really not that significant. It's, you know, I came out of the 60s and 70s, and especially in the 70s when inflation was nuts. So it's been relatively stable for the past 25 years. In 2019, we spent just under $16,000 per student. That's a substantial jump. In the last 6 years, I think the numbers point out that we have gone from somewhere around, well, it's a 50% increase from what we spent. We spent half again as much in just the last 6 years.
Right.
Okay, we were living high on the hog. Oil, coal, gas, we're all doing great. We had fracking. We had all these things going on. We had a lot of money, and we spent it.
Right. Everybody started being like Oprah. You get a laptop, and you get a laptop, and you get a laptop.
There's a pretty good argument that in today's society and for what it takes. But if you look at that $16,000 that it cost to educate a child in 2019, if I gave you $16,000 to educate one child, and you went out and spent $500 on a laptop, that's not too big a deal. So, and there's some good, I mean, access to the internet, there's some things to be done there. So I'm not going there. I get your point. But listen to this. 2019, we spent $16,000 a pupil. You know how much we spend today?
Didn't it go up to?
$18,400.
Yeah.
$18,400 per pupil. In 2 years, we went up $1,200 each year to educate a pupil.
And how many of those kids that graduated could do that math as quickly as you just did? So here's the delayed answer to Joe's question. According to CODATV.com, there's an article that says Wyoming teacher salary is still highest in region. A report by the National Education Association says the average public school teacher in Wyoming has the 16th highest salary in the nation. The report released Monday says the average Wyoming teacher earned $58,352 last school year, which is higher than all of the neighboring states. This is my favorite part. But the Casper Star Tribune reports that the report showed nearby states have been catching up to Wyoming's teachers' pay. We made a report on this report, and we're reporting that.
Oh, ha.
Yes.
So they make half of what, right, they don't even make half of what some of the people at the top are making. Superintendents, on average, is making $100,000 a year.
Yeah, vastly more.
And the guy above him is making more than that. And the guy above him is making more than that. So we're talking about just a ladder of money that is a ridiculous amount of money that doesn't need to be spent on people that do not contribute to a classroom at
who
all.
Have never even been in the classroom. I did 4 years in the same high school. I knew every single teacher. I practically knew every single student because there were only like 250 of us or something like that. I never once met a single school administrator. I didn't know who they were. I had to go into the administration building one time on an errand for one of my teachers, and I had no idea where I was going. I didn't meet a single person that I knew because they were never going around and talking to teachers, sitting in on classrooms, seeing how things were going, ever, ever, ever. They sat in their building. They got paid obscene amounts of money to have meetings and make decisions for the teachers who had to then carry out whatever new orders they had.
Right. I want to throw out one more thing while we're here. We talked about the exponential change in spending from 25 years ago, $5,000 a student, to $18,400 today. And one of the obvious questions would be, well, are we being more successful? Is all that money, is all that investment actually producing a better product? Are kids grading being tested and at a better level than they were 25 years ago? And the answer is yes. But it's like 0.3%.
Right.
It is almost insignificant.
Right.
Very, very slight increases, which cause and effect is hard to determine.
What are the tests the same?
There are all sorts of questions about that, and we'll be dealing with more of that in subsequent shows. But the point here being, we're spending exponentially more money every year to educate children, and we're not doing any better job than we ever did before.
Wyoming schools do rank higher in the nation than a lot of other states, and it depends on who you look at. Sometimes we're the 7th, sometimes we're the 16th. It's all over the place. But we are towards the higher end.
We're generally above the mid, yeah.
I would argue that a lot of that is because we have a small population, and therefore we have small classrooms. So we were discussing this earlier, that sometimes the average student number in a classroom is in the 30s in more heavily populated areas. Where I went to school in high school, I think it was like maybe 20. Those were the heavy classrooms.
Depended
where they tried
on
to
the
pick kids out of
rate
there
for that day.
Right. Depending on whether we were sophomores or seniors, because seniors disappear.
Is it Friday?
But one of my things would be, okay, so we're always above average.
Yeah.
What are our standards?
Right.
What have happened to our standards in the last 50 years or 100 years or whatever?
Well, we don't even have to meet the same standards as immigrants.
Right.
They wanted to issue the same test that the immigrants get when they come into our country. They want to issue that to American students.
Right.
And they were like, that's ridiculous.
Well, they're
so
afraid
hard.
They can't pass it.
Of course they can't.
It's terrifying.
And if they can't pass it, that means the teachers might not be doing their job, so we can't have that. So we've got to declare that the standards and the testing are all racist and therefore irrelevant and should be thrown out.
But here's where I'm going to go.
The administrators are giving the teachers what they think needs to be taught. The teachers are just doing what they're told to do.
Right.
And nobody's learning anything.
And that's what I was going to say, is this is where I will keep going to bat for the teachers, because not only did I watch this when I was in, I was a really weird student. I paid more attention to what was going on behind the scenes than I did actually in the classroom, which is why I keep referring back to that. I had my ear to the underground. But I also taught in a school in Colorado. And anyway, it's been a big part of my life, and I've watched a lot of this stuff. Teachers are doing what they're being told to do because that's what they have to do in order to retain their jobs. Like my PE teacher, he had been a football coach and a PE teacher for like 40 some years. He knew what he was doing. He knew how to get the fattest kids in the class to cut their mile by 2 or 3 minutes by the end of the semester.
He could have.
And yet they were making him write
papers.
So it's not that the teachers aren't doing their jobs. It's that the teachers have to do their jobs according to what the administration decides, even though they know
that ain't going to work.
It's not working.
It's also above and beyond that, now you've got this federal Department of Education, which by right should not exist at all, where you've got a bunch of mucky mucks sitting somewhere deciding what every school all across the country should have to do. And if you don't do it, you don't get your money, which that money shouldn't have gone to them in the first place, too. Education should just be handled within the state, within local school districts, funded and spent all within that area.
So speaking of that far-fetched comment and concept, I should say concept, we were discussing earlier the idea of cutting extracurricular activities, and it actually kind of sparked not a heated debate. I don't think anyone was upset. But we have some differences of opinions in this room.